You know, I've been talking to people. They are coming down with some of the strangest dreams they've ever had in their life. I wonder why. I wonder what's going on. Well, in a moment with our guest, Kevin Tedeschi, we're going to talk about dreams because he has been involved with interpreting dreams for a number of years. So that's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Kevin Tedeschi. Kevin, before we get into dreams, with Edgar Cayce's map of the United States, did he ever say what year that could happen, where, you know, the West Coast is gone and the Great Lakes expands all the way through New Orleans, which again is gone? Did he ever say what year it could happen?
I'll say what year it could happen. He talked about the period between 1958 and 1998 would be a 40-year period of testing in terms of creating some of the future that we would eventually have to experience. But as we mentioned earlier, I think it's all things that may be and not have to be. And I personally think it would be a lot easier to clean up after a major earthquake in California than it's going to be to solve the problem in Iraq, Iran. And that's really where I think Cayce would say, if he was alive today, he'd be giving readings on solving those issues, not about earth changes in California.
Okay, and good luck, by the way, when you become the CEO of ARE. Anything new planned? What are you going to do?
Boy, we have so many exciting things. I continue to be inspired by this work, even though I've been involved for 30 years. Many people don't know we have a variety of schools. We have a Cayce Riley School of Massage Therapy that people come to from all over the world, and it's been so busy. And with a waiting list, even though we have three classes a year, the full classes, that we're looking for a place to expand west of the Mississippi. That's one exciting thing. We're starting a Spanish-speaking publishing company the first of the year. That's another exciting thing. We have a lot of online education that people can learn about their past lives or their soul's purpose or learn how to meditate or conferences on working with your intuition. We have a lot of international activities. There's a Euro Congress that Cayce enthusiasts from throughout Europe have a Euro Congress every other year. We're going to have one in Sweden next July. So there's a lot of activity that goes on that continues to inspire me daily.
How much is a membership?
It costs $48 a year to be a member. And people can go to our website, edgarcayce.org, or call 800-333-4499. And the interesting thing is, Edgar Cayce never turned anyone away if they were interested in his work, and we continue that tradition. So if somebody wants to be a member but can't afford a $48 membership, we'll give them a membership for a year.
So you work on the honor system.
Well, we hope they'll take the membership, and if they can renew in a year, fine, and if not, we'll give them another one. So there's no obligation for $48 if you can't afford it.
That's remarkable, Kevin. I mean, how many people would take advantage of it and not want to pay you?
Well, we release them to their karma, so to speak. I mean, if they want to be cheated by the universe for $48 in their next life, that's up to them.
That's incredible. I've never heard of anybody doing that.
Yeah, we give about between 600 and 800 memberships away a year.
Which, you know what, in the scheme of things is not a lot, which tells me people do want their karma to be enlightened. And they will pay.
They want to pay. And so many of our activities are free, and so many of the things that you can do online, that like we have an online meditation course with sessions and everything that people can just go to and learn how to meditate. It doesn't cost anything. So I think the whole focus of the Cayce information is twofold. In terms of self, working on your own spiritual growth and soul development, and two, really helping the world to become a better place. And we really, really try to do that through some of our outreach.
Well, again, I'm serious. We should talk about some kind of joint effort on what we do and what you do. Because,
and I'm serious. I would love for you to come to ARE and broadcast from ARE.
I think
that would be exciting.
We'll work that out, and we'll have a good time doing that, too.
All right.
It sounds
fascinating. We got some good restaurants here in Virginia Beach.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, it's very close to Navy country, which is where I used to be.
All right.
Dream interpretation, how did you get involved in that?
Well, actually, I got involved because one of the things that the ARE offers is spiritual growth groups called study groups. And when I first got involved in Colorado, my study group, one of the things they did every week was discuss dreams and, everyone having to say your dreams. Casey said your dreams could be really a barometer of your spiritual growth. And so that's really how I started working with them regularly. And it's also where I started working with dream incubation, where you could actually ask a question and then look for guidance in your dreams. And I have to give my study group, which was in North Glen, Colorado, high marks for really laying the groundwork for so much of what happened with my career at ARE later on. It was a great place to go if you were a seeker and didn't know what you were looking for and how to get started on a spiritual path. But that really began it. And then I found out I had a real knack for dream interpretation, kind of on the side to make extra income. I would interpret dreams on the phone for $30 an hour, which I did for a woman who worked with Fortune 10 executives who had challenges with their dreams, and she'd call me, and I'd help her, and that went on for quite some time, and then she eventually told me I should write all these things down, so I wrote a book called Dream Images and Symbols, and then she had the book. She didn't need me anymore for the $30 an hour, so that's really got started. And I started lecturing on dreams around the world and had some amazing experiences with helping people with their dreams. I actually lecture all over Virginia Beach at some of the high schools on working with dreams. And somehow I'm convinced that it was I was a dream interpreter in a past life in Persia, I think. Seeing on the sands of Persia helping people with their dreams. Back then, of course, you got paid for it. Now it's mostly like being a trained dog. Someone tells you a dream, and you're supposed to just right away tell them what it means. But I'm certainly happy to help people with their dreams.
Have you noticed that people are having some strange dreams and premonitions these days?
Yes, I have. I think that a lot of people, and I think that it's more self-directed than globally directed. I think a lot of people are under some kind of stress or change or challenges in their life, and of course that's reflected in the world as a whole as well. And that's often a good time to have dreams that try to help you or to work out those issues. And one of the things that dreams do, even if we don't work with remembering our dreams or writing them out, is very often people have had the experience of they're very stressed or they're very unhappy or they're worried about something, and they go to bed and the next morning they wake up and they're feeling fine and they don't know what has happened. And essentially, Casey would say, the dreams have contrasted and correlated the events of the day, trying to make sense of them, and you've come to a resolution at the level of your subconscious mind, and you feel better because of that. And there's actually a next level that if you could actually remember your dream and come to some sense of what it means, you could have even greater assistance.
Well, remember the old saying, hey, just go sleep on it.
Go sleep, exactly. And I can't tell you how many times I've written out a question to go sleep on it and gotten an answer that was just amazing. And it's a capacity that my parents didn't tell me about when I was growing up that it was possible to do. But I certainly try to tell a lot of people, you can write out a question, dream on it, and get insights from yourself that you didn't even know you possessed.
I have used my dreams, Kevin, or the subconscious when you sleep, to do incredible things for me that I couldn't do while I was awake.
Absolutely.
And it's almost as if tasks and challenges are easily handled in your sleep and dream state.
Absolutely. And partly what happens, and this is from a scientific perspective, not necessarily from Edgar Casey's perspective, is science has proven that during the course of a day, most of us filter out 98% of the information coming to us at a conscious mind level. And that sounds high, but nobody is aware of sitting on their chair right now or how their shirt feels or their glasses on their nose or the sound of their heating and air conditioning system or the sounds in the room they are or their car, because we filter all that information out and we only become really aware of 2% of the information coming to us. But that information is not lost. It's set aside in the subconscious mind. And so when we sleep, all that subconscious resource that has basically been picked up by our little mini radar systems we are comes to the forefront. And it's really for that reason that people who are hypnotized remember more that went on at a crime scene than they are aware of consciously, because it just it absorbs into our system, and then we can use it in our dream state.
Didn't Edgar Cayce dream of talking to, death? Did you ever hear that story?
He did. He had a dream where he was had spoken to death, and he, in the dream, Cayce realized that death was not the horrible, scary experience that most of us feared, but instead was a kind of a friendly figure, and that essentially the dream, I think, was to explain to Edgar Cayce that a couple of things. One, that death was not to be feared, that the person who dies has a continuity of existence. They do not die and that's it. I mean, they're very much aware of being themselves, and they just move on to another experience. Cayce called it God's other door. That's one part of it. And the other part is a realization that we are not physical bodies who happen to have souls, but we're instead spiritual beings who are having a physical experience, like we're driving around in this physical car. And it's actually the spiritual part of our lives that's the most important. This, our goal here, from Cayce's perspective, is to somehow bring spirit into the earth. We're not doing a too good job nowadays, but that is actually what our job is. We're God's emissaries bringing spirit into the third dimension.
Was Edgar a believer in dreams, dream state, accomplishing things in your dream?
He was. He actually gave over 900 dream readings at a time when dreams were just having an early beginning with a therapist like Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung, and Cayce had no knowledge of these individuals when he was doing this. But Cayce essentially said that everyone can work with their dreams, and that dreams can really give us basically a benchmark of the things we need to be working on, a relationship advice, even glimpses into our future. And just one experience that most people have had is very often Cayce says while we sleep, we tune into the upper reaches of what he called the superconscious mind, which is essentially a throughway to the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records are constantly calculating probabilities. If Kevin does this, this is the outcome. If Kevin does this, this is the outcome.
Right.
And somehow we tune into those probabilities, and the next day perhaps we're having a conversation with someone. We think, wait a minute, I've already had this conversation. Or we think, wait a minute, I've already been to this place. And we have an experience of deja vu. Cayce would say that most of those deja vu experiences are actually fragmentary dream recall from seeing a glimpse of a very short-term future coming our way.
Do you believe people are connected with what I call the wireless internet?
Yes, I do.
And they can communicate with each other. They can perform incredible feats. They can, for example, if you wanted a job, you could concentrate on the person who's doing the hiring. It might help you, right?
It might help you, absolutely. And Cayce would even go a step further and say that that wireless internet continues to exist even when the person has died. That he very often would recommend people who had lost a loved one and were worried about them, that they could have continuity of communication in the dream state. And I've had a number of people who have talked to me about their experiences with deceased loved ones, that, in fact, real communication can take place.
Kevin, do all dreams mean something, or maybe you just had a wild dream because you ate too much, you gobbled down the pizza too fast and went to bed?
Uh-huh.
I mean, or is every dream mean something to somebody?
Well, I often teach dream interpretation, and I usually use a statement that all dreams mean something, but sometimes it's not something very important. So to use your example of gobbling down the pizza, that if I'm a student at a university and I eat a pizza late at night and go to bed, and then that night I have dreams about bombs falling and a seaport being blown off the face of the earth, it is probably not a glimmer of World War III, but the fact that my digestion's at war. So
you're having a stomach ache in your sleep.
You're having a stomach invasion, yeah. But, so all dreams mean something, and Cayce would say it's related to our physical health and well-being, our emotional, psychological issues, and then, of course, our spiritual life.
Can you enter, or have you ever heard of people who can enter other people's dreams?
I have heard of that. I actually wouldn't want to try it in terms of taking the fallout for what might happen. Instead, what I recommend is helping people have a dream in the waking state, basically tapping into your intuition and then sharing with one. When I do workshops, I get a group of people together, and then they work with each other's intuitive dream and come up with answers and things that way.
Interesting. What about psychic dreams?
I think they're very possible. I think that in addition to seeing the future in this superconscious mind, very often when we have a some kind of a thematic experience happening in our life, for example, a loss of a job, I cannot tell you how many people called ARE, we're talking well over a dozen, when we, just after the Oklahoma City bombing happened, and many people called, they had had a dream about an office building blowing up or some kind of a problem with a workplace blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them called because they were concerned that somehow they had tuned into this and they were supposed to be doing something about it. And they were basically felt guilty because they didn't know where this building was and they didn't know what they were supposed to do. And essentially what all these people, for the most part, had in common, that the ones I spoke to at least, is they were all having experiences with a complete change, even an annihilation of their workplace, layoffs, job changes. And what happens is the subconscious mind looks at the person's life, and if the person is ignoring or not wanting to deal with something, it will look for a global experience, a larger experience that has the very same theme to try to bring to your awareness something going on in your own life. I was going to say the universe does not expect us, if we have some kind of a dream that turns out being precognitive on a larger level, that it doesn't expect us to have called the FBI and say, you know, I had this dream, but I don't know what really happened. It's instead more self-directed, and it's coming to us because we need to take a look at something going on in our own life.
You know what? I am convinced that the government probably used to practice, using your dreams to enter someone else's dream state and maybe even kill them or harm them.
You think?
Yeah.
I know they definitely worked with remote viewing in terms of...
Oh, sure. We know that.
Going at a distance, and I think that from a theoretical perspective, it would be possible to remote view yourself into someone's dream.
Can people take courses to get better dream guidance?
Absolutely. In fact, we offer programs pretty frequently, and we have information online about how to work with your dreams. But I usually tell people that the best way to do it is just practice. You know, you need to get up and you need to start writing down your dreams and looking at your own dreams, and then just start working with trying to figure out how to interpret. And there's a variety of ways to work with interpretation. But ultimately, with practice, each person can become their own best dream interpreter.
Would they be as gifted as you are, Kevin? Is it better for the individual to interpret his or her own dreams?
Well, if they have no experience, they probably need to get a book of some kind. And actually, one of the best books on dream interpretation I recommend is an unabridged dictionary, one of those big, fat dictionaries you can't carry because it's so heavy.
Right.
They have metaphors under every definition and thing, and those are really handy to work with dream interpretation. But very often when I help people with their dreams, I have to ask them questions about what's going on in their own life just to get a handle on what various symbols mean, because all symbols have more than one meaning. And I can certainly give you some examples of that. But essentially, when I help people, unless it's a call-in radio show where there's no chance to dialogue, it's
yes.
best to ask a couple of questions.
Well, have you ever in your life experienced a situation in interpreting a dream where it scared you?
Where the dream scared me?
Yeah.
No, but I did have a very unusual experience once interpreting a dream that I'll be happy to tell you about.
Okay, we'll be back. We'll be back with that in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Where they are jumping for joy in St. Louis, because here in St. Louis, they're up 2-1 over the Detroit Tigers in the World Series. This town has just gone bonkers. They taste it now. They're getting close. We'll be back in a moment with our special guest, Mr. Kevin Tedeschi, as we talk about dream interpretation. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. No need to ring yet. And we'll talk about Edgar Cayce and your dreams. So we'll be right back. Kevin, before the break, you were going to give us an example of dreams, if you want to do that again.
Well, sure. We were talking about unusual experiences and dream interpretation. And on one occasion, I had a young woman, probably 20, in my office who had this long, convoluted dream that she was telling me. And usually when I do dream interpretation, I try to quickly come up with a theme or somehow tie all the pieces together in one cohesive sentence so I can work with interpretation more quickly. Well, this dream was so convoluted and so unusual that it was one of the few occasions I felt totally lost. And I felt myself kind of lean forward toward her just thinking, my God, I need to help this woman somehow. And I heard a woman's voice in my ear. And the woman said, this is the dream of a woman who has been sexually molested. And as soon as I heard that voice, I saw all the threads connected. And so I started by saying, you know, sometimes when we've experienced abuse, and she started crying. And so I knew that that was exactly what had happened. But that was probably one of the most unusual experiences I'd ever had with dream interpretation.
What does it mean when you're in a dream and you're running and running and running and you're just not going anywhere?
You need more exercise. No, I'm just, it usually suggests that you're trying to get away from something, probably something within yourself or within your life, and you can't get away from it. That's why you're not going anywhere. So
interesting.
In the waking state, you're trying to get away from something, ignoring something, not wanting to deal with something, but you can't get away from it.
Do people share similar dreams?
Do we have dreams in common?
Yeah,
I mean, there's very common dreams. Like, lots of times, people who are older in their, let's say, 40s or older, they will have a dream about going back to school and sitting in a classroom and their teacher's passing out a test and they didn't know there was going to be a test that day, or being out in the hallway and can't remember the combination to their locker or something like that. Those are all dreams not about having unresolved issues from high school, but about not feeling prepared for something. And so what happens is when we have an experience in life, our mind looks for an experience in our soul history when we had a similar experience. So you're not feeling prepared at work, so you go to sleep, and your mind remembers a time back in school when you didn't feel prepared, and you dream about it. And it's actually that dynamic that causes past life dreams to happen. We have a experience we're having in life, let's say, that we don't understand. The soul mind looks for an experience in the soul's history that was similar, and we remember a past life. Not to get us interested in reincarnation so much, but instead to bring to our awareness the fact that something similar is happening again.
How do dream experts predict that people have a number of dreams every night, even if they don't remember it? How do they know?
Well, they've done a lot of dream studies since the 1950s when rapid eye movement was discovered, where people found that if your eyes were moving just below the eyelids and you were woken up, awaken, you would be more predisposed to remember a dream. That's how it started. That research eventually expanded, and they discovered that on average, most people dream about 90 minutes a night. We don't sleep for a long time and then dream for 90 minutes and sleep some more. We have about 6 dream cycles of an average of perhaps 15 minutes each. They have found since the REM experiences that we don't just dream when we're having REM sleep, we also dream without REM sleep. But everybody dreams, and dreams average about 90 minutes.
Well, so they're not that short.
Well, I mean, they're short fragments, but for over a period of an evening, we'll have dreamed 90 minutes worth. We don't tend to remember all those dreams. We're more likely to remember the dreams that happen closer to awakening.
But why is that? Why do some people remember dreams other people just simply can't?
Part of it has to do with, we are not culturally predisposed in this country to work with dreams. Nobody brought us up with, you know, you really need to watch your dreams, or ask you over the breakfast table, what did you dream? And part of it has to do with just practice. When I first got involved in my ARE study group and we talked about dreams, I didn't remember any dreams. I never had remembered a dream. And basically I got a notebook and a pen or a pencil, and every day when I woke up, I just write down whatever I remembered. And I went from not remembering anything to, for a while there, having to get up earlier, 45 minutes earlier, just to write down everything I was remembering. At which point, finally, I said, you know, this, I can't write down all these dreams. This is too many, and cut back a little. But once you prime the pump, it is very easy to start remembering your dreams.
Was there a pattern to your dreams? Were they trying to tell you something?
Oh, sure. I mean, and it depended on what was going on in my life. I'll tell you one of the experiences I had in a study group with dreams.
Please.
These study groups work with disciplines. Like this week, we're all going to meditate every day, or this week we're going to try to do something spiritual, or this week we're going to refrain from whatever. And the one week they decided, this week we're going to all ask for dreams on what do I need to work on spiritually. And next week we're going to come back and we're going to report on those dreams. Well, I had never done that. Plus, I had a hard time remembering dreams, so I was kind of nervous I'd be the only one out of this group of 14, 15 people who couldn't remember anything. So the first night I wrote out, what do I need to work on spiritually? Went to sleep, didn't remember a thing, made me even more nervous. The next night I tried it again, and this was the dream I had. I dreamed I was in Egypt, where I hadn't been yet. I've actually been there 6 times since then, but I had never been to Egypt. And I was coming out of the Giza Plateau, and just as I was stepping out of the pyramid, some person I knew from ARE said to a big group that was there, by the way, Jesus taught Kevin some dance steps, and Kevin wants to show them to you now.
Jesus taught you dance steps?
Yeah, which was a real surprise to me, because I never remembered seeing Jesus. I didn't know anything about dancing. But all these people were gathering around me to listen, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I can come up with something. And somebody I did not like at all in ARE sat down near me, and I hope I can say this on the air. I thought, what an ass, when the person sat down by me.
Well, I guess we can get by with that.
Okay. So I looked out over the plateau, and then all at once I saw Jesus, and he thought back just what I had thought, and the next thought was, more than anything else, you need to work on your thoughts. And so when I got to study group that next week, I thought, you know, not only did I have a dream about I need to work on my thoughts, but I got it from the big guy himself, so I was pretty impressed with how easily that had happened.
Well, I'll tell you what, dreams are powerful, and if you know how to handle them or even use them, it could take you to unbelievable places, Kevin.
Absolutely.
The people who dream and remember dreams, all walks of life, men, women, children?
All walks of life, I think, work with their dreams. I more often hear from women about their dreams, but partly that's because I think we have more women interested in our organization than men. More women come to our conferences, let's say. But I think we all have the capacity to dream. But if you just try it, you'll be amazed at how much information you can get.
What are the techniques you use to interpret a dream?
Well, a theme is the first one, where somehow if you can just sum up a dream in a quick theme, you'll get a sense of what's in the dream. And the second one is symbolism. We can definitely look at various symbols in the dream and come up with an answer. Let me tell you a quick dream that ties those two together.
All right, sure.
As I mentioned earlier, I give lots of talks to local high schools about dream interpretation, usually 10, 11, and 12th graders. And apparently one day after giving a talk at a high school, one of the kids went home and told his mother I had been there. And she called my office, and she had brought another child, a 14-year-old boy, who I had not spoken to. And the reason she brought him is she described him as being stuck in life, and he had a dream that illustrated him being stuck. And she was very bright in thinking that if I can figure out what his dream means, she can figure out how to help him be unstuck. And so this was his dream, he told me. He dreamed that he was in his backyard, and so just thematically, a backyard generally suggests something in your past, because it's behind you, or backyard, something hidden from public view. Well, if you're 14 years old, you probably don't have much of a past, so I was going to go with hidden from public view. And he was walking along, and he got he was walking barefoot. Barefoot, symbolically, is often a symbol for being vulnerable. So he's walking barefoot, and he got his feet stuck in the lawn. All at once, the lawn became like cement, and he couldn't move. He was totally immobile, couldn't move. Well, thematically, the whole dream, you can forget all about the symbols, the whole dream is suggesting someone is stuck in life. And so basically, we could probably dialogue with this young man, what's going on in your life, why do you feel stuck, and maybe get to the answer. But in my mind, I kept saying to myself, stuck in the lawn, stuck in the lawn. And then I looked at him, and I said, stuck in the grass. I said, do you smoke marijuana? And his mother answered and said, he does, but he says he doesn't do it all the time. Well, the dream was suggesting that he had become completely vulnerable and stuck to his addiction to grass, and that's why he was stuck in life. And I felt like that since that had come from his own subconscious mind, he might try to cut back at least or do something about it, because it was certainly interfering with his life.
What do you think that people like Kim Jong-il of North Korea or Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran, what do you think they dream about?
Well, doesn't Kim Jong-un have this real thing for Daffy Duck? So he probably has some dreams about Daffy Duck. I think they probably dream about conflict, power, their own issues related to upbringing. I'm sure that the gentleman in North Korea is acting out all his frustrations with his own father on the rest of the world. I'm sure there's lots of dreams that happen like that.
Freud would love him, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Very unusual character.
Didn't Abraham Lincoln dream of his own assassination?
He did. He had a dream where he was coming down the steps, and there was black all over the place, and there was a coffin in the front hall of the White House, and people were in mourning, and he went up to someone and said, "What happened?" And one of the people there said, "They've killed the president." And that happened just prior to his assassination.
Was Edgar involved at all in dreams and interpreting dreams?
He did. There's approximately 900 readings on dream interpretation, and that's really what got me really hooked. Every kind of dream you can imagine, people brought Edgar Cayce to. One of the shortest is actually one of my favorites. Someone had this dream. Their mother was still alive, but she had this dream that her mother came to her, and she told her, she said, "You know, if your husband wants you to go the osteopath, you should go." And so this woman, during the course of a reading, asked about this dream, and Cayce, there asleep on the couch, said quite simply, "You need to go to the osteopath." So it didn't take a rocket scientist. The thing that Cayce did that has amazed me frequently is very often his wife would hold the dream in her hand and wouldn't read it, just interpret this dream I have here in my hand, and he'd interpret it. And on about a half a dozen occasions, he will say something like, "The dreamer has forgotten a portion of their dream," and he would describe the part the person had forgotten and then interpret the whole dream. And short of the Book of Daniel, I've never seen anyone else be able to do that.
Well, that's a pretty good gift. How do you go about interpreting dreams? I mean, what tools do you use?
Well, practice, hearing a dream and then trying to get the theme, working with symbols. Emotions are extremely helpful in dreams. If you can get a handle on what the emotion is and find out how when a person feels that same way in waking life, you'll very often know what the dream's about. For example, I had this calling one time to ARE, and they had had a dream, and basically the dream was about insecurity. They had this dream where they were at a penthouse in New York, and there were people there from work, everyone from work, and everyone had a plate of barbecue in one hand and a drink in another, and this person was having a fine time, and then looked down and realized they were totally naked, and they were very concerned that all these coworkers would see that they were naked. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the dream is about insecurity, nor the fact that this is about work, because all the people are from work. Well, if you tell a man often that he's insecure about his job, he's going to give you denial. So instead what I said was, "Tell me about your job." And he told me that he was a stockbroker and had done this work for about 15 years. And then he said, but I traded firms about 6 months ago, and sometimes I wonder if I'm catching on as fast as they'd like me to here. Well, nobody else in the dream noticed he was naked. If in real life nobody notices you're naked, that may not be a good thing. But in this dream, it was great because his insecurities were his own. They were not shared by his coworkers.
Isn't that incredible that your events of your life will affect you in your dream state?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good barometer for, you know, what's going on in our life.
What was that line from The Gladiators? Remember when the king before he died said, "My failures, your failures as a son are my failures of a father," something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And much like dreams, your dreams of, you know, your events of your life affect your dreams and vice versa, right?
Absolutely. And as Cayce said, they contrast and correlate the events of the day. And they often pick up experiences that we had during the day and go to the next level with them.
You know, Kevin, do you or can you train people to interpret dreams, or is it a gift that you're born with?
Well, I think it's like anything else. I think not everybody can learn to be a concert pianist, but everybody can probably learn to play something on the piano. So I think everybody can learn to do dream interpretation. And with practice, ongoing practice, you can become really skilled at it. I don't think you need to be a professional dream therapist to be able to work with dreams, although in therapy I think that's extremely helpful. But I think everybody can learn how to interpret their dreams.
And I recommend, and I'm sure you do too, you just mentioned part of it, that go to bed, put a little pad of paper and a pen and at your bedside. When you wake up, just start jotting a little bit about what that dream is.
Absolutely. And if people have had a hard time remembering that, sometimes what I recommend is to ask a specific question. What can you tell me about my relationship with so-and-so? Or tell me about this job? Or describe what I can do for my health? And dream on a question, and sometimes that makes you more bought into the whole process of remembering.
What's the difference between your book, Edgar Cayce and the Soulmates, and Edgar Cayce on Soul Growth?
Edgar Cayce on Soulmates is really about how to improve your relationships with every person in your life. And Edgar Cayce on Soul Growth is, Cayce talked about three keys for soul development that each and every soul eventually had to come across. And one was working with spiritual ideals, which basically is setting your sights on a higher a mission in life. And another would be working with personal attunement, such as meditation. And a third is personal application. So ideals, attunement, and application, Cayce would say, are really your keys to soul growth.
Well, how would you interpret this, Kevin? This is mine. I'm overlooking the valley. I'm in California. I see three twisters racing through the city of Los Angeles, huge twisters. And I want to go and report it on the air, and my producer holds me back from doing it. And I'm never able to report that these three massive twisters are hitting the city. What's that all about?
Well, it could be a variety of things, but it suggests that there's either been three instances or there's three personalities there at the studio where you've had a verbal argument with these people about wanting to do something.
Nope, haven't had that.
A disagreement or a change of I want to do this, and so they have a different perspective on it. Nothing
nope.
like that at work.
Nope, nothing like that. I mean, free rein to do what I need to do.
And you don't have challenge, and you said you're not married, so it can't be about a wife. Generally,
about a wife. I have three children. They're all grown.
That's it. It's three emotional upheavals of some kind that you're overseeing off in the distance, and you can't really do anything about.
Interesting. And what's the producer got to do with it?
I had assumed it might have to do with work, but it's more probably related to family.
Interesting. And maybe because he's also a friend, I would have tapped into him for some advice or something.
Or he had a similar experience with kids or, you know, a similar experience with his life. Something your kids are going through, he went through, or something like that.
Interesting. Stay with us. Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines next. Questions about Edgar Cayce, questions about dreams. Get ready to go.